You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
And I want to share with you tonight something that's just burning in me. Of course, I love teaching on the power of the tongue, confessing the Word of God. Not mind over matter, not positive confession, but God's Word over the matter. God's Word over the circumstances. There's a lot of teaching that's similar to biblical teaching, but the problem is if you leave Jesus out of it, then it's just a man thing, not a God thing. Or a mind thing. You know, some people accuse us many times when we talk about praying and believing about being similar to a mind science cult or Eastern philosophy or religions or concepts. But there are similarities between all kinds of religions. But the truth is what God says. And we talk about being positive and believing and standing on the Word and saying the right thing. We're talking about saying what God says. And that way He gets on the scene and He gets the glory and He gets the praise. Amen? So there's a fine line maybe. Our confession is more positive, yes. Our mind is full of God's Word, something more positive, yes. But the glory all goes to Him and it's all based on His Word. Not just on what you want or I want or what somebody else wants. So we got to stay close to the Scripture. And that way, you know, when you're in the trouble and you're in the trial, I see a danger here. I even see preachers that will preach on confession, maybe preach on being positive and saying better things about yourself and all. And that's all well and good. We ought to raise our self-esteem to the picture that God has of us. But there again, there is a standard to go by. We're looking to find out what God says. Amen. And if you find out what God says, you will find out you are more than a conqueror.
That's right.
And you do overcome through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you, who's in you is greater than he that's in the world. The Bible tells us that. 1 John 4:4 tells us that. So we understand all that. But if we don't connect that with the Scripture, we're not just saying, be more positive, think victory instead of defeat, not connected with the Scripture. If you're not connected to the Scripture, when the battle gets rough, you're most likely going to give in and quit because you have nothing to base it on. It sounds good to speak nice things and say good things, and we should do that because that's scriptural, but that's the reason we do it is because we have a Scripture that tells us to do that. Amen. Now, when the battle gets tough, I'm not just doing something on my own. I'm not just doing what some preacher said. I'm not doing what some popular teaching today may be. I'm doing what the Scripture says. So when the battle gets tough, I go back to the Word and say, this is God's Word. God said so.
Amen.
It's not my deal. This is God's deal. And I hope you're not out there saying, well, Michael Williams says. I hope you connect it to a verse. Because if I say something to help you, it might help you a little while. But if you get a hold of something that God says, it'll help you for a lifetime. Amen? All right, so turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 78. We talk a lot in the Scripture about what to say. And Christianity is the great confession. We confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Think about it. When you came to Jesus, when you became a Christian, you confessed Him as Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we talk about a belief or a faith. A biblical faith includes speaking. It includes talking. It includes allegiances and loyalties and saying things. And, you know, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, He's my Lord now, not the world, not the devil, not the flesh, not my old life, but Jesus is my Lord. I confess Jesus as Lord. I turn my life over to Him. If I confess Jesus as Lord, believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I shall be saved, Romans 10:9. The 10th verse says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I love that part because we confess unto the thing. And that shouldn't be so strange. Most any union in this life, legally speaking, starts out with a confession. We make vows in a marriage. We confess and pledge our love and our life and our allegiance to each other in the wedding vows, the marriage ceremony. It's entered into by confession. You know, we've got a presidential election coming up, and you know, whoever wins that election is going to stand and give an oath of office. He's going to enter into a contract with us as our president and make a confession to do so. Every senator, every representative, any state or the United States does the same thing. Make confessions. I mean, that's awesome when you get you look into that. I mean, it's a part of our fabric of our lives, really. We hold people in offices to their vows. We hold them to their confession that they make. They vow to us. that they will do certain things. We vow to each other in a marriage, we will do certain things. We vow to God when we become a Christian. We confess Him. Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Amen. I love that. It's a two-way thing. I may confess Him down here, but He's confessing me up there. Woo-hoo! Amen. Are you with me? I may represent Him here, but He represents me up there. I may do everything I do here in His name, but He does what He does up there in my name. He stands up for me. He confesses me. He makes good what I pray and believe and stand on in His Word. He makes it good. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Are you with me? And it starts with a confession. So we have a lot in the Scripture about what to say and, you know, what to pray. And but, you know, the Bible also talks about some things not to say. You know that program, obviously you guys don't watch it, I don't either, but I've heard of it, What Not to Wear? Okay. It's a chick film or show, whatever. And, you know, they parade people on, and I think they get cameras and sneak up on them and when they're, you know, before they pick them and tell them what's wrong with their wardrobe. And you know, they go and they just tear everything out of their wallet. You can't wear it. Oh, that looks terrible. What Not to Wear. That's the name of the show. Are y'all with me? Guys, talk to your wives about this when we get home. Well, I think there's some things that we shouldn't be saying. And we ought to learn what not to say. Hello. I mean, we talk a lot about what to say, but I think we miss out on sometimes what not to say. And the Bible talks a lot about what not to say. Y'all found Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is a tremendous psalm. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to pick pieces out of it. I encourage you to read the whole psalm. It is about recalling and remembering what took place when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because of their unbelief. God's will was to deliver them from Egypt with a mighty hand, which He did. That's the story of the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. And, of course, the crossing of the Red Sea and the destruction of the whole Egyptian army in the midst of that same sea that they crossed by dry land, the Israelites, the Egyptians were destroyed in that. And, man, they got to the other side of the Red Sea and they sang a song, God has triumphed valiantly, the horse and the rider is thrown into the sea in Exodus 15 chapter. And they danced, and Miriam had her tambourine, the Bible says, and they danced a victory song. God has triumphed, we have triumphed valiantly. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. The Lord our God, our strength, our song. You know, we actually have sang that song years ago. I'm not going to sing it again because I've forgotten the tune. How'd it go? I will sing unto the Lord, for He is triumphant gloriously. The horse and the rider are thrown into the sea. You remember that? The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. It's getting too high for me. The Lord my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Yep. It starts over again. I will sing unto the Lord. It's right out of Exodus 15. Well, they came out with a mighty hand. He was going to take them right into the promised land. Sent out 12 spies to check it out for them. Come back and bring report. And you know the story, Numbers 13, 13th chapter of Numbers. They came back and 10 brought back an evil report of doubt and unbelief. They said they couldn't do what God said they could do. Said they couldn't have what God said they could have. And then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of their doubt and unbelief. That wilderness experience was not God's plan. That was because of their doubt and unbelief, because of what they said, because of their confession. They even said, would that we had died in Egypt. Woo! And it was just negative and negative. And it was negative about God. I think it's important, obviously, what we say about ourselves, it is just, and if not more important, what we say about God. Amen. Psalm 78 recounts this thing, that we would not forget this. That's what this whole psalm is about, that the generation to come would put their hope in God. In fact, it says in the 6th verse that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God. 7th verse, and not forget the work of God, but keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart right, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Woo! That's quite an indictment. I don't want to be that part of that generation. Amen? And that's why we have this psalm, and so that we wouldn't repeat that scenario. You know, why go through that again? I always heard insanity is doing the same thing twice and expecting different results. I mean, sometimes we bring a lot of pain on ourselves because of what we're saying and what we're not praying. Hello. Because we're saying the wrong thing. Notice the 19th verse. It says, yes, they spoke against God. Wow. Man, I don't want... How about you? I don't want to do that. How about you? I mean, I don't... Sometimes, you know, we think we're just negative and complaining, but a lot of times we're just speaking against God. And boy, in the times we're living in right now, this is very important. And we hear so much about the stocks and the gas and prices and the election coming up and, you know, what are we going to do? Well, it sounds like we need to trust God. In fact, I got news for you. It doesn't matter what happens to the election. It doesn't matter what happens to the gas pump. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens on Wall Street. God is still alive. Jesus is still on the throne, and the Word of God is still true. Amen. And my God still shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. That doesn't change. In fact, if you don't want to know the truth, even in the wilderness, God still met their need. Time and time again. They went from Egypt, the most prosperous nation in the world, to the wilderness, to the desert, where there was no Walmart. And listen to this. No Starbucks. Wow. Oh yeah, we're talking serious business here. And yet, God still supplied their need. For 40 years He supplied their need. Now it wasn't God's best, obviously, because their sin took them through that wilderness for 40 years. But still God brought manna out of heaven, water out of rock. At one point He gave them quail. Then they got to complaining because they didn't have any leeks and onions. I mean, it's like they had homemade chili, but it didn't have the Williams seasoning sauce in it. And so we turned our nose up to it. Hello. I mean, they just couldn't find enough to complain about and talk about and just speak against God. Even in the midst of the miraculous, every day, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. Supernatural miracles were happening all around them every day, even in the midst of all this. And they still spoke against God. 19th verse. How do you speak against God? They spoke against God and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God? Can God do this? I don't know if God can. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. Well, listen, I don't know about the economy. Are you kidding? Nobody knows about the economy. You want to get 10 different economic forecasters or prognosticators or whatever you want to call them. And they all disagree. And they're just throwing the dice out there and hoping one of them's right. And when it's right, they'll say, yeah, I told you so. Yeah. One of them will be right. Because just the odds will be one of them will be right. But the next time he makes a prediction, he'll be wrong. Everybody gets over to this economic guru because he was right 10 years ago when he made a forecast. And now he's making one now. Boy, you better watch it. He was right 10 years ago. And this time it winds up being wrong. And one of the 10 that made the forecast this time was right. So that, hey, he's the man now. He's the guru. Whatever he says is right. Next time he'll be wrong. Somebody else will be. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. Are you with me? I know this. God won't change. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Now what we have to do, what you and I have to do, is make sure we're not speaking against Him. Hello. Now we in this country we have a lot. You know, we're very independent. You know, all of us can run the country better than anybody that's up there. We can run the football better than any quarterback on the team. Hello. We can run the business better than any boss we ever worked for. It just seems to be that nature, you know, of independence. We tend to think we can build a better mousetrap. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to God, you are out of your league. Completely. You cannot outdo God. You cannot outrun God. You cannot outsmart God. God knows more than we know. And if God says He can do something, He can do it. I don't care if you can't figure out how He can do it, He can do it. I don't care if in a million ways, scenarios, you can't make it happen. God can make it happen. And don't you ever say God can't do what God says He can do. If God says He is your shepherd, you shall not want. You know what? He'll take care of you somehow, some way. He'll do that. Now, what you have to watch is your mouth and not speak against Him. Y'all all look alive today. Nobody carried you in a casket here tonight. I saw y'all coming on your own 2 feet. In fact, nobody even wheeled you in. I think everybody, did y'all all walk in tonight? Okay. So we're still alive. God's still, word's still true. It says they spoke against God and they said, God, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, He struck the rock and water came out. I guess so. Streams overflowed. You know what they said then? Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people? You know, they got quail at one point because they weren't happy with the bread. Got tired of the menu. Man in the morning, man in the evening, man, it's up there time. Manna. Man, the manna again. You know, I want something different. Manna. I'm a supernatural from heaven. I'd like to have some of that, wouldn't you? Goodness gracious. They got tired of the menu. That's like, you know, how can you, we're in Texas, how can you ever get tired of homemade chili? I don't understand that. Brenda will make homemade chili, and she said, we just had that last night. I said, honey, I love it. I'll take it again tonight. I like for her to make a big pot of chili because I can eat it several days. I just love chili. Now, if you can't relate to that, listen, you pray and repent, and God will help you. Hello. So, they just kept saying, can he. You know, you ought to flip that around. He can't. We're not can he's, we're he can's. He can. God can. God can do this. God does and God will. Yes. God can and God will. God delights in the impossible. He is the God of the impossible. With men it is impossible, Jesus said, concerning salvation. But with God nothing shall be impossible. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said this. Says, nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Woo, isn't that good? If you'll believe and trust God, nothing's impossible. So, their mistake is in what they said. They spoke against God in saying that God couldn't take care of them. Watch your mouth. Watch what you say. Maybe you're struggling with the economy. Maybe you're struggling on a job. Maybe you're struggling with the bills. Maybe you're struggling with all these kinds of things. But don't struggle with your faith concerning God. God will make a way somehow. You trust Him. You do what you can. You do all you can. God will do what you can't. And we will make it. We will live. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for God is with us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Amen. Yea, the young lions who lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Amen. And He delights in our prosperity. I love that. Praise God. Psalms 35, verse 27 says, yea, let them shout for joy that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them continually say, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. That's an awesome verse. I mean, when you think about it, it says, let them shout for joy who favor my righteous cause. Do you favor God's righteous cause? Well, you ought to shout for joy. Because no matter what's going on, if you favor God's righteous cause, He goes on and says this, let them, those that favors righteous cause, those that are shouting for joy, let them say, no, it says let them continually say. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them continue, them who? Them people that favor God's righteous cause. Them being us, okay? Okay. Let them continually say what? Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Amen. That's what we ought to be saying, see? That's what pleases God. In fact, the Bible tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That doesn't mean anybody ought to stand up and say, so? Oh, you'll get it in a minute anyway. If we're redeemed, we ought to say we're redeemed. If we're saved, we ought to say we're saved. If we're blessed, we ought to say we're blessed. Amen? And so we ought to say it. We ought to say it. We don't need to be speaking against God and saying, can God do this? Of course He can do this. He can and He will. He can and He will. So what not to say? Just go through that wardrobe of words you pick out when times go bad and gas goes up and all these things, you know, and just throw it out. Quit wearing that. You don't wear it well at all. In fact, throw it away, don't ever wear it again. Doesn't fit. Amen? It's not fitting for a Christian. Paul talked about not doing things that were fitting for a Christian. I like that. It's just not fit. Doesn't fit well. Doesn't wear well. Don't wear it. Don't wear this bad confession. Don't wear this bad talking against God. It says, can he provide meat for the people? 21st verse, therefore the Lord heard this and he was excitedly happy and it pleased him. And he says, well, they're okay. I understand. You know, I've heard preachers get up and say, if you're mad at God, just tell him. I'm thinking, don't do that. Don't. I mean, God understands. Just go and holler at him if you need to. I've heard preachers say this, really, in the pulpit, in churches. He understands. He knows what you're going through. Well, yeah, he understands. He knows what you're going through, and he doesn't like you calling him a liar. I understand my kids. I love my kids, but I don't like them calling me a liar either. I still love them, but I'm not going to be happy when they're hollering at me. When I'm the ones trying to help them. Are you out there? I'm just trying to help you, okay? Because I hear people say this, you know. I'm so mad at God. Well, you need to repent. I just told God what I thought about the situation. Well, you got all that off your chest. You feel better now? You called God a liar. You called his word into question. You've insulted him, the maker, the creator of everything, the one who loves you and gave his son for you, died for your sins, shed his blood that you might be saved, and you just insulted him and told him he doesn't care about you and doesn't know what you're going through. How dare you say that? You're mad? I get mad too, but I'm not mad at God. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at this broken world we live in. I'm mad at sin. I get mad at me sometimes. But God's not my problem. God's the lover of my soul. Think about it. See, now we don't think about it. That's the problem. We don't think about that. You know what? They didn't think about that either. You say, well, that was really what I meant when I said that. Well, I'll tell you what. There's some people that did that. Didn't turn out too well for them. Are you with me? I'm trying to help you. I love you. I've been there. We get mad, sure, but see, you need to direct your anger towards something. I mean, you know, listen. If Brenda kicked me in the shin, I'm not going to slap Mo. Jeez. I'm not going to slap Brenda, okay? Two things I fear, God and Brenda. Anyway, no. But I mean, what would that be? I remember when Mama used to spank me when I was a little kid. And she said I was the sweetest little kid. Had a little mean streak in me. I was the third child, the last child, so I was a little spoiled. You know, I couldn't do anything wrong. You know, but she'd spank me, and she said, I'd just run in a circle while she's spanking me like this, and my brother would be making fun of me, Lemoyne. Y'all met him. And every time I'd come around, I'd slap him right there upside the head. She'd be spanking me, and I'd turn around and just slap him upside the head again. Before he got to, finally, he started backing up a little bit, you know. Make fun of me too close, I'm going to get to him. I'm hitting somebody. I wasn't about to hit Mama. But I was hitting him for her spanking me, you know. Yeah. Man, life's full of tragedy. I know that. It's full of pain. It's full of problems. It's full of challenges. You know, but God's not your problem. He is not your problem. Now, this is what not to say in a trial. Don't blame God. And don't say God can't do what he says he can do. I don't know how God's going to do this. Well, I do. He's going to do it because he said it, period, and I'm just going to believe him. I'm going to trust him. I remember they interviewed Dodie years ago, probably 1982, she contracted, 1981, she contracted metastatic cancer of the liver. I think it was 80, the year we moved was 82, so it had to be 81. Is that right, 80 or 81?
I think 80. 1980.
Okay.
And she battled it. It was like 81 when she
battled it. Okay, 80, 81. A long time ago, Dodie Osteen, still alive today, still praying for the sick, still down at Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen's mama. That was our pastor, John Osteen and Dodie Osteen. They came up here and preached in our building, 1988. I know I got that one right. 1988, they came up and preached in our building. Well, in 80 or 81, she contracted a cancer, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, this is metastatic cancer of the liver. Not a good cancer. It's a quick killing cancer in the natural. I mean, they gave her a few weeks to live, I think is what they gave her. I think they gave her 2 or 3 weeks to live. Doctor called in Doty and Brother Osteen, and they knew Brother Osteen. Says, Brother Osteen, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your wife has cancer, and you can just count on her. She's going to die in about 2 to 3 weeks. That's all we can give her. It's metastatic cancer of the liver. There's nothing we can do. And he said, well, doctor, we believe in miracles. And the doctor said, and I remember Brother Osteen's told this over and over. And the doctor said, well, Brother Osteen, you're going to need one. And Brother Osteen says, I'm going to get one. And he took her home. She weighed 89 pounds. Took her home. And she got about 25 scriptures on healing and began to quote them every day, or several times a day. And she didn't get it better right away. But she didn't die in 2 weeks. And she didn't die in 3 weeks. And she didn't die in a month. And she didn't die in 2 months or 3 months. And then in time, she was completely healed. She quoted the word every day, God, your will is that I be healed. Your will is that I be healed. And she wrote a book called Healed of Cancer. I don't know, hundreds of them we've given away over the years, you know, to people that are battling cancer. There is a way God can heal cancer. He does heal. And she was being interviewed by Ben Kinslow at that time, was co-host of the 700 Club with Pat Robson. This is years ago. She was being interviewed a year or two later, 83, maybe 84. I never will forget this. She was on the set, sitting there. Ben Kinslow was interviewing her and says, well, Doty, during all that time that you were struggling with this and barely walk, you'd make yourself get up and walk around, quote those scriptures, and it was a long time before you got a total healing. And she had records totally, completely healed from all the doctors, not a trace of it in her body. She's alive today. This is 2008. And she's still preaching, still praying for the sick. We heard her preach a funeral just this year. We were down there talking to her. And he said, Doty, in all that time, did you ever get mad at God? And gets me every time I think about it. You could see in her eyes the astonishment at that question. She looked at Ben. I never will forget this. She looked at Ben. She says, mad at God? Why would I get mad at God? I was believing Him for my healing. You know, God didn't do this. I was believing Him for my healing. He's my healer. And she's so sweet, looked up in His eyes and said that, and I thought, oh man, yeah. That's why she's still here today, amen. Still alive today, and got that book, Healed of Cancer. But see, there's something about her that's different than some of us many times. And she didn't question God. She didn't blame God. She didn't, you know, she just started believing God. She started saying, God can, God will. And she's got a whole list. In fact, you can get that list of scriptures. I think it's 25 scriptures on healing that she quoted every day, every day, every day. Wasn't overnight. She stayed with it. She didn't immediately see a manifestation, but you know what? The word works. Amen? And she came out and she's healed. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are things that you do say, and there's things that you don't say. You need to know what not to say when it comes to God and His Word and praying. Here it says, 21st verse, therefore the Lord heard and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because, why? They did not believe in God and did not trust in His salvation. Man, I tell you, we ought to believe it. We believed Him to be saved. We believed Him to take us to heaven, to forgive us our sin. Whatever else He said He would do, if we're praying and believing and saying the right thing, we ought to be thanking Him that He's going to do what He says. And you know what? We ought to go to sleep at night. I love the scripture. It says, He neither sleeps nor slumbers. There's no sense in both you staying awake about it. The Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that. So you ought to just lay down and believe and know that God's going to take care of it. It may look rough. It may be dark. But I'll tell you, light's coming. Amen. Victory's coming. You may be in the valley of the shadow of death. But the Bible says, and that's Psalms 23, yea, though I walk through. Didn't say, yea, though I die down there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Say the right thing. He goes on in this psalm, and notice what he says in the 32nd verse. He did miracle after miracle, deliverance after deliverance. 32nd verse says, in spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in His wondrous works. Their sin was what they were saying about God. 41st verse. Yes, again and again. Verse 41. Again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember His power the day when He redeemed them, Him from the enemy. What power are we remembering when we look at financial defeat, when we look at physical defeat, when we look at emotional defeat, when we look at crisis and tragedy and trial? What power do we remember when we see that? We ought to remember the power of God. Hello. Let's not forget the power of God. Whatever's going on here, God's got the greater power. Whatever's going on here, God is the maker and the creator of all that He is, and greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4 tells us that. Let's not forget. Let's remember. Amen. Let's do not limit the Holy One of Israel. What in the world is he saying there? I can put limits on God in my life if I don't trust Him. And if I'll trust Him, I can take off the limits. God is actually limited to my faith or my trust or what I'm saying about Him. It's, well, I don't believe that. You can believe what you want to. Those that believe, receive. Those that doubt, do without. I believe the Scripture is very plain. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. If you don't believe God will do it, He won't do it. But if you believe He will do it, He will do it. That's just plain and simple. If you don't believe Jesus saves you, you know what? You won't be saved. You cannot be saved unless you do believe He is the Savior. Unless you confess Him as Lord, you can't be a Christian. You can't be saved unless you turn your life over to Jesus. Well, you know, those that don't believe that, you know what? They'll get what they believe. They don't believe Jesus saves, so He won't save them. He can't. They tie His hands. But they can untie His hands by confessing Him, believing Him. Here it says they limited, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Turn over to Jeremiah. Real quickly, I want to give a couple verses here. I won't keep you quite as long as Terry Myers did the other day. I'll tell you, Terry's got some stories, doesn't he? He is an apostle. I'll tell you, that guy goes all over the world. And I could listen to Terry all day long. I really could. I heard Terry say one time, I was preaching in a meeting in Michigan over at Good News Fellowship, where Jan Moore pastors. And I was preaching that week. In fact, Dr. Barclay was there. Mark Barclay was preaching. Terry Mize. And then we ended up preaching the last service. And Terry preached the night before, and I was sitting there, and he said, I don't know why people come hear me preach. He said, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear me preach. I just know that God, you know, has done some things, and I like sharing what He's done. And he says, I don't know, you come, and I appreciate that. I don't know why you come. He said, I wouldn't walk across the street to hear me preach. Well, I got up the next night, and I said, Terry, I'd walk across the street and hear you preach. I'd love to hear you preach. I love to hear those messages. I love to hear those testimonies, the power of God, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the boldness. Testimonies of God's grace, of His ability to make impossible things happen and come to pass. Awesome. Why would we get tired of that? Why would we get tired of hearing, going a little long, hearing that kind of testimony? Wow, powerful stuff. Amen. But having said that, I am going to let you out here pretty quick. Jeremiah 1, notice this. This is where God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. Y'all remember that? He was just a young man because he even said that I'm a child. And God ordained him to be a prophet. In fact, it says in the 5th verse, this is a great pro-life verse, incidentally. You hear this quite often when people are on the pro-life platform, and we are pro-life. Okay, I do not believe that abortion is right. I believe it's murder. It's very simple, plain and simple. But here's a scripture and there's forgiveness. Stay with me. There's forgiveness for anything that we do. But we can't condone what's wrong. Are you with me? We don't hate people. It says here in the 5th verse, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, God had a plan for every child, even in the womb, and He knew him. And He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Isn't that wild? That we had a destiny before we were ever born or came out of the womb. So that's life in there, amen? Then said I, Jeremiah, not the bullfrog, Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah then said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child or a youth. I'm too young. I'm too old. Well, Lord, we're in a small town. not enough people. Lord, we're in a big town. Everything costs much. So much money. I've talked to pastors that said, well, everything costs so much in a big town, you just can't get anything done. It just costs too much to get anything done. I've heard pastors in a small town say, well, you just can't get anything done. You ain't got enough people, small town. I'm thinking, is there anywhere you can go that would be okay? Wherever God tells you to go is okay. Amen. If He tells you to go to small town, He tells you to go to big town, whatever He tells you to do, you can do it. Yeah. We never let that stop us here at International Outreach Church. We never thought about small town, oh, so much we can do. No, maybe small town, but big God.
Right.
Our problem is not God. Our problem is small thinking. God's plenty big. I mean, we do things in our church in a small town that other churches maybe don't traditionally do, but you know they should. Everybody ought to do what we do. Hello. We're completely out of debt. We got 45 acres here, completely paid for. We have a television channel. We broadcast 24 hours a day here in Willis Point and Edgewood. Shining Light Broadcasting, Channel 16. We're doing Hallelujah Night where we provide all that free. Every single year we do that free. We went through 4,000 hot dogs last year. Which I mean, mention that. Y'all quit eating so many hot dogs, okay? But no, we don't charge for that. We, you know, we went through popcorn and ice cream and cotton candy. And but we want to bless this community, bless these children with something safe and something Christian. Hello. We don't think in terms like that. It's too small. Our town's too small. God gives us an idea. We just run with it. Don't start thinking about why you can't do it. There might be a million good reasons why you should do something good, something that God tells you to do. There is never one good reason why you shouldn't do what God says you should do. You may have a million reasons for doing what God says to do, and there might be a million reasons why people do what they do for God. I don't know. A lot of good reasons to do things for God, do things God said. But there's never one good reason for not doing what God says. Not one. Never. Not one. Amen? Okay. Notice what he says here. Jeremiah responds to this great call. Jeremiah responds to this great commission. God saying, you can do this. He says, Lord, I can't do that. I'm just a child. Notice what God says in the 7th verse. The Lord said to Jeremiah, don't you say that. See, there are things not to say. What not to say? Well, here's something not to say. Don't say God can't do what He says He can do. And you know what? Don't say you can't do what God says you can do either. Yeah, think about that. Don't you ever say God can't do what He says He can do. Don't you ever say God can't. Can God really provide in the wilderness when He said He would? Don't you ever say God can't do what He says He can do. And you know what? Don't you ever say you can't do what God says you can do. He goes on and says this. He says, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. You can and you will do this. That's what he's telling Jeremiah. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Isn't that good? You can do what God says you can do. Let me close this out real quick. Matthew 6. I'm skipping some verses. I don't have time to get to them all because y'all took too long. Matthew 6. Here's something real simple. And Jesus, of course, you know this 6th chapter talks about, it talks about praying, it talks about giving alms or helping the poor. Talks about fasting. Talks about several things here. Then it gets into your just believing God to take care of you. That's really what he gets into in that the 24th verse. You can't serve two masters. Either you hate the one, serve the other, and love the one, hate the other, despise the other. You can't serve God and money. It didn't say you couldn't have God and money. It just said you can't serve both of them. We don't serve the Almighty Dollar. We serve the Almighty God. Amen. Who provides us and blesses us. And thank God for the blessing of God. I believe in prosperity. I believe God's a prospering God. But I believe He is the one we give the glory to. And He is the one we serve. And He is the one we are passionate for and want in our lives. I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for God. Hallelujah. And if God tells us to do something, I believe the money's going to come in. I believe money's coming in. I believe we're coming to the day that money's waiting on buildings. not buildings waiting on money. Hello. Because our God, he's waiting for us to get in faith and just trust him. But he gives a scenario about God feeding the sparrows and clothing the lilies and so on. And notice what he says here in the 31st verse. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry saying, or take no thought saying, King James Version says, do not worry saying, or do not say this, don't. This is Jesus talking now. And Jesus is saying to you and I, don't say this. There's a lot in the Bible tells us what to say. We talked about that. Confessions and so on and so forth. But obviously, the Scripture also tells us things not to say. It doesn't please God. It doesn't make Him happy. Are you with me? You want to please God and make Him happy? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe that God will bless us, that He will take care of us, that He will provide for us, that no matter what's going on, whether we're in the desert or in the United States of America, whether in Wills Point, Texas or Dallas, Texas, or Hawaii, it just doesn't really matter because God doesn't change wherever we are. He is still the same. His word's still true. So Jesus is saying, do not say this. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? How am I going to make it? I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
Talking to me too. Talking to all of us. How are we going? What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do what we've always done. And God will supply like He's always supplied. You know, I was teaching right before I went to Hawaii on this. I remember Brother Osteen saying, way back in the 70s, why, if gas goes to $1 a gallon, my God will supply all my need according to Christ and glory by Christ. And why, if milk goes to $1 a gallon and bread goes to $1 a loaf, you know what? It did. And you know what? God did. He's supplying. He's still supplying. Woo! Hallelujah. But one thing we don't do is we don't question Him. We believe Him. We trust Him. And we shouldn't question whether we're going to make it or not. We are going to make it. We are the children of the living God. What not to say? Don't say, can God. What not to say? Don't say, you can't do what God says you can do. What not to say? How am I going to make it? Are you kidding? You know how you're going to make it. You're going to trust God. Hello? You're a Christian. You're a believer. You've got God's Word. You have God on your side. You may have to work. You may have to do a little this or a little that. But one thing you don't have to do is you don't have to start whining, moaning, and complaining. We've got a whole world out there that does that. We don't have to do that. We can trust God.
Yes,
and we're not going to say that. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
So let's learn in our confession, and our confessing the Word and speaking the Word, let's learn what not to say. Amen?
Amen.
If you've been saying some of those things, just repent. God will forgive you. Join a club. We've all said it. We got no stones to throw. But thank God for information, for inspiration. We thank God for the truth of God's Word gets us on the right path. Get off that out of that victim mode and get on the victory road. Amen? You're not a victim. You're a victor. You're not trapped by the government, trapped by the OPEC, trapped. Are you with me? Any number of things we can name. We're free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We're Christians. We're believers. We have means of invisible support. I've always said it this way and looked at it this way. When you have a silent partner or you have invisible means of support, that means that when everything visible disappears, it's not over for you because you have invisible means of support. Now, someone in the world that doesn't know how to trust God and believe God, when everything visible fades away and falls apart, they have nothing to hold on to. But we have this invisible God that supports us and undergirds us and holds us, hallelujah, with His righteous right hand, hallelujah. And so we're never without support because He gives us that invisible means of support. So whatever visible out there changes, the invisible never changes. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. The things which are not seen, they are eternal. Hallelujah. And that eternal thing is a person, God, our Father.